Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavana.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you for inviting me, devotees. It's nice to be with you. So we will try to recount a few of the colorful pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and related topics like this. So now, we know that Lord Balaram is the older brother of Krishna. He's the older brother, so his relationship with Krishna is, he's senior. So that means the relationship has a touch in terms of, in terms of just the mood, really. There is a parental type of mood in the sense of protective type of mood, that mood of an affectionate senior. That is there. And then there is also mixed with that a friendly mood. So it is something like what one might call, what is sometimes called, respected friend. There are different types of friends. There's junior friends also, and there's equal friends, and then there are older friends. So they're called respected friends. So Lord Balaram's in that category, respected friend. Although he's brother, but the mood is like that, full of friendship, in a mood of seniority. How did it come like that? How did it come to be like that? That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. There's no one higher than Krishna. And how is it he's got an older brother who's senior to him? And who protects him. How could it be like that? Well, there's an interesting story. And also particularly seeing tomorrow is the Ram Navami day. So there's a story of how, actually there are different sort of phases in the story of different interactions between Lord Ram and Lakshman. Because Lord Ram is Krishna and Lakshman is Balaram. But now they're in those pastimes of the Ram Leela, and tomorrow's Ram Navami, of course. So there they were. So there were a number, there were three particular pastimes which were of great, which were causes of great, great concern to Lakshman, the younger brother. First was when Ravan kidnapped Sita. You familiar with these things? You all know these things? You know? Yes? Alright. So let's just assume you know the basic gist. So Ravan stole Sita. But just before that happened, Lord Ram went off to try to capture one deer on Sita's request. And Lord Ram told Lakshman, his younger brother, you stay here and guard Sita, And just don't go away. Just stay here and look after her. That's it. Finish. So Lakshman said, right, of course, yeah, I'll do that. However, that deer was a sort of a magician type, mystic yogi. So he led Lord Ram away to some distance, and then he called out, imitating Ram's voice, saying, Lakshman, help! Please, come and help me, I'm in danger. Please, help. So immediately, Sita and Lakshman heard this, and Sita told Lakshman, you must go. You must go immediately. And anyway, it's a bit of a long story, but Lakshman, of course, he had been ordered by Ram, so he was not keen to go. In fact, he just refused. But then Sita applied some pressure, sort of very strategic types of pressure, and Lakshman, in the end, he just became overpowered by it all, so he went. And then Ravan came and kidnapped Sita, and then Lakshman met Ram, who had just killed that deer, who, as we said, was a mystic demon. And Ram asked Lakshman, what are you doing here? You're meant to be protecting Sita. So Lakshman's just bewildered now. So they went back, and what did they find? No Sita. She's gone. So Ram was not happy with Lakshman. It was really a disaster, major disaster. And Ram chastised Lakshman, but I told you. Doesn't matter what she said, but I told you. So Lakshman felt very bad. So that was one. So Lakshman was thinking, sure, this is tough, you know, being the junior. So the next thing was when they rescued Sita and Ram, Sita asked Ram, so what would you like me to do? And Ram said, well, you can do whatever you like. In other words, I don't really care what you do. So there's this tense situation between Sita and Ram, because Sita had been in the house of Ravan for 1 month or something period like that. So then Sita said, no, you know, it's not that I've become contaminated. I'm still completely pure. I'll prove it. I'll walk through fire. So what did Ram say? He said, good idea. Good idea. Then he called Lakshman, build the fire. So Lakshman had to get all the wood and build this fire so that Sita could walk through the fire, and one would assume she would be consumed by the fire. Ew. Not very nice. And so Lakshman was thinking, why do I have to do these things? I'm always getting pushed around again in these awkward, unpleasant situations. I get to do the dirty work. And just at that moment, Ram said, make it bigger. So Lakshman was not happy. Then third incident was later, that Sita and Ram, they were now together as husband and wife in Ayodhya. But then Lord Ram heard one washerman, Dobiwala, chastising his wife. You went to the house of another man, so you get out of here and just don't come back. Just go. And the wife was saying, no, please, don't throw me out. And he said, yes, I'm not a hen-pecked husband like Ram, whose wife Sita was in the house of another man for a month, but he still accepted her back. I'm not like that, so you just go. So when Ram heard that, he thought that this is very significant. Just on the basis of the principle, my honor, I'm going to have to send Sita away. So he did. But the way he did it was, you know what he did? He called Lakshman. He said, Lakshman, I'm going to banish Sita. And what we are going to do is that you are going to take her to the forest. Just tell her. And you're going to take her to the forest and just leave her there. And Lakshman said, but if I tell her that I'm just going to take her to the forest and leave her there, she's going to object. She's not going to do it. She's not going to want to do it. So Ram said, well, don't tell her that. Just tell her that we'll go for a ride in the forest and just, you know, just like it was in the old days when we were in exile, we'll just go out into the forest. And when you get out there, stop the chariot and tell her, wouldn't you like to walk in the forest? Just get off the chariot and just go walk in the forest. I'll be along shortly. And then when she's walking the forest, just go. Little radical, isn't it? And Lakshman was not happy. Why? No, we shouldn't do this. It's not necessary. But Ram said, no, we have to do it. You have to do it. Just do it. So at that time, Lakshman took a vow. Next time we appear, I'm going to be the older one. I'll be the older one. Then he can't say anything to you. So then it's a fact. They appeared as Krishna and Balaram. And Balaram is the older brother. He actually appeared before Krishna. And they have this mood, like we said, that Balaram, being just a little older, not a lot, but still older, he has this parental type of mood in the sense, not that he's really feeling like the father, but there's that mood of a senior protecting and caring for and so on, the younger brother. So that's Krishna and Balaram. And Balaram, being the older brother, being senior, well, Balaram, he really has that mood of being senior and being not just like more important, something like that, but being responsible. Balaram has that mood. I'm responsible here. I have to look after Krishna. So he's always keeping a watchful eye on Krishna. And Balaram, in that mood, he's with Krishna so much, and he's got this mood, and he's thinking like this. So, Balaram is, he's very practiced in looking after Krishna. He's just so much in that mood, and this has been going on for so long, that it's like he's expert at looking after Krishna. So expert. And intelligent. He's always thinking in these terms, okay, now what's going to happen here? What is Krishna up to here? What are we going to do about Krishna here? What sort of trouble has Krishna got into here? And how will we get him out of it? And this is how Balaram thinks. So he's thinking like that, but he's also expert like that. So, therefore, Balaram, and he enjoys it. So Balaram, he has like a particular mood and he has a particular program. I think, you know what? I think we're going to have to come forward a bit, isn't it? Because people are going sort of out the door there. So just come forward, everyone. kind of round and forward and everything. So Balaram, he has this mood of wisdom and care and concern and, you know, always being ready to deal with difficulty and help Krishna out. This is the mood of Balaram. So therefore Balaram is known as the crest jewel of the intelligent, because he's so expert. Krishna, as you probably know, tends to get himself into all different types of situations. And Balaram's always there to help him out. Yes. So, for example, just to illustrate this point, how Balaram is very intelligent and he knows how to deal, what to do under different circumstances so that to do it very nicely and effectively for Krishna. There's one book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Perhaps you've heard of that book. It's just recently, the first part was published a year ago actually, and a few weeks ago, the second part was published. I got a copy. And then there's a third part, which I assume will come next year or so. So now in that third part, which has not yet been released, not yet published, so there is a very, very beautiful story. Actually, between the second and third parts, it's like that one big part which has been divided into two. It's a story of a devotee named Gopakumar. Gopakumar literally means young cowherd boy. That's what Gopakumar means. So Gopakumar is a devotee living at Govardhan Hill within this material world. He was born there. And Gopakumar, it is really a long story, as I said, it goes across now these two big volumes of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But Gopakumar, basically the story is that he goes back to Godhead. Gradually, step by step, he advances. And finally, right at the end, as I said, it's in the last volume, which has not come out yet. But right at the end of that, he finally goes to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka, where Krishna has his eternal abode in the kingdom of God, that eternal Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. So Gopakumar goes back there, having been in the material world a long time, because he was like us. He ended up in this material world, but then, like we say, he went back to God. So there he is now, Gopakumar has just gone back to Godhead. And he arrives in Goloka Vrindavan. And he's Gopakumar, means a young cowherd boy, and Krishna is also a Gopakumar, isn't he? He's also a young cowherd boy. So there's Gopakumar. He's just arrived there, you know, after who knows how long in the material world. How long have we been in the material world? How long have you been in the material world? Did you keep a diary? Anyway, we've all been long, long time. Too long. So anyway, there he is now, having been away such a long time, he has returned. And he has returned now. It is the late afternoon when he just arrives there in Goloka Vrindavan. And what is happening? Krishna is returning from herding the cows, returning back to the Vrindavan village, having been out all day herding the cows with the cowherd boys. All day they're running around here and there, now they're coming up. And there's Gopa coming. So he sees, he hears the sound, mooing and bells ringing, and sees dust from the cow's hoofs coming his way, and he realizes, oh, this means Krishna's coming. I'm going to finally see Krishna. I'm going to meet Krishna. Wow, so he's just overwhelmed. So he's waiting and waiting. It's this like cloud of dust. It's coming closer and closer. Actually, Rupa Goswami makes a very nice point about that cloud of dust. Just in general, the cloud of dust, which is there when Krishna and the cows are moving around. He says that the pastimes of Krishna are covered by a cloud of dust. Therefore, it's very hard for the material logicians and material people where Gopa Kumar is. And Gopa Kumar sees Krishna. It's just overwhelming. He sees Krishna. And Krishna sees him. And there is this reunion. They just run towards each other and embrace each other. And Krishna asks him, where have you been? I haven't seen you for such a long time. Where have you been? This is what happens when you go back to Godhead. When you go back, you'll meet Gopa Kumar. And you can ask him about it. And learn from him. So, Krishna's asking him, where have you been? I've been missing you so long. And just embracing him and just crying in ecstasy. Just overwhelmed. Suddenly, Krishna fainted. We were there right on Tuesday night. And His Grace Prabhupada Sarai was talking about, wasn't it Tuesday?
Yes.
Or was it yesterday? It was a Tuesday. About these different types of ecstasy. So there's crying, one type, important, dominant type of ecstasy. And then fainting also. So, Krishna fainted, right on the ground. And there's Gopa Kumar holding on to him, but Krishna's just on the ground. And Gopa Kumar goes down on the ground holding him, and Gopa Kumar, oh, doesn't know what to do. He's very worried. Krishna is crying so much that the dust, the ground, has become muddy from his tears. So, there's Gopa Kumar, Krishna sort of on his lap, they're down on the ground, and Gopa Kumar is bewildered. Then, other of the inhabitants of Vrindavan appear on the scene, some of the gopis, and, you know, they're fiercely attached to Krishna. Oh. So they see Krishna, and they say to each other, what has happened to our Krishna? What has happened to the goal of our lives? Who's done this? Then they see Gopa Kumar. And they ask each other, who's he? We haven't seen him before. Then someone says, I think he's been sent by Kamsa. You know Kamsa? The king of the demons. I think he must have been sent by Kamsa
to kill Krishna, and now he's doing it. So everyone is just, oh boy, it's just far too much. And they're looking at Gopa Kumar like, all right. And Gopa Kumar are singing, who, me? Sit by Kamsa. I'm from Govardhan. So they just start closing in on Govardhan. Then Balaram comes through into the center of it. And Balaram, as the crest jewel of the wise, he understands immediately what's going on. Then he thinks, okay, how to resolve this? So what he did something very, very intelligent and very wonderful. He knelt down by Krishna and Gopa Kumar, who are down, basically. Krishna's just lying there across the lap of Gopa Kumar. Gopa Kumar sort of kneeling, sitting, something like that. So Balaram comes down. And what does he do? He takes Krishna's hand and puts it right in the lap of Gopa Kumar. Then he took Gopa Kumar's one hand to hold up Krishna's head. This is Balaram is doing with his hands, manipulating like this. So he takes Gopa Kumar's hand around here, puts Krishna's head there. Then he takes his left, Gopa Kumar's right hand, right now, here, and gets Gopa Kumar to stroke the head of Krishna and stroke Krishna in very nice ways like this. So Gopa Kumar is now doing these very nice things with Krishna. And there's Krishna just out. But suddenly Krishna, he comes back to consciousness. Oh, what happened? Oh, it must have been the sun. I'm so sorry. Everyone, he tells everyone, hope I didn't upset you. And there he's lying there, you know, Gopa Kumar holding his head and still stroking Krishna's forehead. And Krishna says, oh, you revived me. I was stricken by the sun, but you revived me. Oh, thank you. So now all the inhabitants of Vrindavan standing around, they think, oh, really? Oh, he's very nice. He's very nice. So then they accept Gopa Kumar. Gopa Kumar becomes integrated into the Vrindavan community by the expertise. Very, you know, very intelligent, but very sweet and affectionate dealings of Balaram. So, it's like this. It's like this, Krishna and Balaram. They relate like this. So then they went back to their home, the house of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And Krishna brought in Gopa Kumar and introduced him to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Here, look, we've got a new cowherd boy. So then they sat down for dinner. Now dinner is cooked by Mother Yashoda, but also Radharani. Every day she comes in the morning, then she comes back in the evening, and she cooks Krishna's, helps, cooking Krishna's breakfast, then his evening meal. So, now it's the evening meal. They sit down at the table. They're eating different preparations, it's very nice, and Gopa Kumar's eating, and he's thinking, wow, I never tasted anything like this in my life. No alubini. You know, sugar beans. Not that. I'm sorry for that. Oh, just exotic. Exotic and really literally out of this world. So they eat all these different preparations as they go through the meal, and then finally they come to the end of the meal, and then it is time for a sweet. So Radharani has made this nice sweet. Oh, what a sweet. It's a type of laddu called Manohar. You understand that? Manohar. Mana means the mind, and ahar means which takes away, steals the mind. What a laddu. And a big one, you know. Actually, I remember first time I ever took prasada, I think. I was in Sydney, Australia. It was sort of maybe August or so, 1972. And I was a member of the surfing community. The surfing swami. And one of the world's top surfers, he was just, you know, just really one of the most famous and expert. He lived in Sydney too. His name was Ted Spencer. He became a devotee. He became a full-scale devotee with shaved head and sutra and everything, and he surfed in the world championships with a shaved head and sutra and everything.
Sure.
Yeah. He was committed to Krishna consciousness. So Ted Spencer, what he did, he made a Simply Wonderful like this and gave it to one of the one of the young fellows who was also a member of the surfing community in Sydney, and told him, well, Ted Spencer offered it to Krishna, Sanat Prasadam, and told him, you take it to all the surfers in Sydney and get everyone to take a bite and tell them that it's from me and I want them to do that. So finally, we were up at the other end of Sydney, North Sydney, way up the other end, actually. And there was a knock on the door. And there was this fellow. His name was Spider. So Spider. Anyway, Spider. He said, here, I got this sweet from Ted Spencer. He wants you to take a bite. So I looked at them. Now it was about half the size. And there were teeth marks all around the whole thing. So I looked at this. Really? You seriously want me to take a bite? So he just insisted, so I took a bite. Anyway, this Manohar Laddu, it was big and just out of this world. Amazing sweet. So there it is. It's made by Radharani for Krishna. It's now the end of the meal, so now Krishna is going to eat his sweet. So Krishna looks at this laddu. Then Krishna and Radharani is looking around the corner, just sort of, you know, around. And Krishna's sort of glancing over, you know, to see if Radharani's watching, and she's watching. So Krishna took a bite. Took a bite. Then, you know, momentarily sort of stopped. And then he made a face like, oh, oh, oh no. fat and now. Oh no, that was horrible. And Radharani, you know, she's bringing around the corner. And she saw that. Oh, she was just shocked. So then Krishna tossed it to Gopa Kamal. So, you know, now Gopa Kamal's got to move. Gopa Kamal, I wonder why did you give it to me if it's so bad? To throw it away something. So then Gopa, Krishna sort of just indicated to him something like, you know, meaning, go on. Yeah, go on, just do it. So Gopa Kamal, just not knowing what to expect, he took a bite. And he found it's just mother, just totally stealing the mind, the most incredible thing. And then Krishna looked at him and sort of went something like, winked at him in a boyish way. That scene, you know, we are really making fools of these girls. So anyway, the next morning, Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and Gopa Kamal, they took the cows out again. So there they are, all the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram, and they're just about to leave. They're just going out the door when suddenly Mother Yashoda calls out, "Wait! Krishna! Wait! Vandan!" Yes, Mother. So Krishna stands there, Mother Yashoda comes and says, "I just want to adjust your clothes." So she adjusts his dhoti and some sort of kurta or little shirt and turban. Okay, all right. Krishna says, "Can I go?" Mother Yashoda tips him out and, oh, Krishna turns and goes maybe 5 meters, 10 meters with Balaram. Mother Yashoda calls out, "Krishna, wait, wait." Yes, Mata. So now she comes and adjusts his jewels. Is your, you know, your whatever on your turban, is that there, and your necklaces, your earrings, your bangles, everything is all right? Yes. Okay. Krishna says, "Can I go, Mata?" And Anisha says, "All right." So then Krishna turns and Balaram, they move another 5 or 10 meters. What happens? "Krishna, wait! 1 minute!" Mother Yashoda again. "Let me check your lunchbox." Now you know about Krishna's lunchbox. Here's this lunchbox that's sort of, you know, this by this, by that, sort of lunchbox, you know, that children take to school sort of thing. And Mother Yashoda said, "Quick, I want to check your lunchbox, see that all your food is there, so you'll feel right." So she opens up this lunchbox. And this lunchbox, you never saw a lunchbox like this. In this little, you know, lunchbox, there's so many different types of preparations. Like what? There's so many types of samosas. Cauliflower samosas, potato samosas, pea samosas, cauliflower and pea samosas, sweet corn samosas, sweet corn and curd samosas, mung dal samosas, and many other types. And many types of chutney. Many types of sabjis, all your favorites. What's your favorite? Spinach and garlic?
Plenty.
Different varieties of spinach and garlic. And cauliflower and peas. And cauliflower and peas. And just every type of different types of rotis. And maybe some Alan Beanie. The different types of rotis and pakoras and chutneys and sweets, oh, burfi, laddu, laddu, sandesh, simply wonderfuls, rasgulla, rasmalai, rabri, and many others. All in this little lunchbox. So there's Madhusudana checking out the lunchbox. And Krishna says, can I go, Mata? Like, you know, can I go? Like that. And Madhusudana closes the lunchbox. She's just feeling so heartbroken. So he says, well, oh. So he goes another 5 or 10 meters. And what happens? Madhusudana goes out, Krishna, wait, wait. You haven't got enough fruit. Just hold on. She runs back with some fruits. Puts it in the lunchbox. So this goes on for, you know, 5 or 10 meters at a time, for about a kilometer or so. Finally, Krishna says, Mata, we are going now. Please go home. Mother Yasoda says, well, I think I'm going to come with you. And you herd the cows, and I will cook your lunch out there. Krishna says, look, I got my lunch wrong. And Mother Yashoda says, all right, then I won't cook. I'll help you herd the cows. And Krishna says, Mata, you don't know how to herd the cows. You're a woman. Then Balaram intervened. Said, listen, Mata, listen. When we go out there, we do not really herd the cows. We just play. And the cows are so attached to Krishna, they just follow us wherever we go. We never had one run away ever. So we just go there playing, we go somewhere else, we go everywhere, and just follow us. And Mata, you can't play like that. Mata, you're too old. And oh, Mata, your shoulders, heart is just broken. Oh no. So she has to go. Yeah, so that's there in Brihadbhagavatam into this whole story and more. Very beautiful story. So well, I said I would read you something. I'll read you. A little bit. Actually, it's from Brihadbhagavatamrita directly, from the same part, just a little later, where Krishna goes out, and then Kaliya comes. You heard of Kaliya? She's a demon in the form of a snake. It's terrible. And I must say, it is a bit of a long story actually, but basically what happens is that Krishna is out with the cowherd boys and the calves. They're herding the calves. And Krishna finds that the Yamuna River has been poisoned by Kaliya. Kaliya is there in the Yamuna River,
and is just, you know, in a terrible polluted condition. So Krishna feels very bad, and he thinks, right, I'm going to chastise this Kaliya. So what Krishna did, he walked out on a branch. There was one big tree there, with a big branch sticking out over the Yamuna. Krishna walked out to jump in the Yamuna, to swim out and fight Kaliya. Do you know what he did before he jumped? And he tightened his belt as wrestlers do before they fight. Then he jumped into the Yamuna and made such a huge splash you wouldn't believe it. It was like a tidal wave, actually. And Kali was over on the other side, and he heard the splash. Because why such a big splash and a big tidal wave from little Krishna? Yeah. How old are you? Krishna was even smaller than her. Can you imagine if she jumped into the Yamuna? It wouldn't make a big splash, would it? Not so big. But Krishna made this huge splash. It was just completely unreal. Like meters and meters high. Why? Little Krishna. Big splash. Why? Well, because Krishna is not just that little boy. He's everything. You know when Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth that one time? She saw the whole universe inside Krishna. So can you imagine if the whole universe landed in the water? What sort of splash would that be? It was a big splash. And Kaliya was over the other side, he heard the splash. And he thought, what sort of rascal is some rascal jumped into my lake. So then they swam across, they met each other, there was a little battle. And Kaliya grabbed hold of Krishna and was holding Krishna. And it appeared that Krishna was captured, incapacitated, he couldn't do anything. Seemed like that. So then the cowherd boys, they sent someone back to alert everybody in Vrindavan, in the village. I'll just read a little bit of that. It's very nice. So, let's see. So, standing by the shore, the cows, bulls, calves, and other domestic animals from the village, as well as all the wild animals from all the forests of Vraj Mandala, they all cried, fixing their eyes on Krishna's face and screaming in agony, crying pitifully. The birds flew over the lake and dived into the waters. The trees and other plants became dry and withered. Many great calamities happened. Then an old man ran back to Vraja village, crying and terribly calling out. He described what had happened.
stone. He alerts them. Everyone comes running out, except Balaram. Interesting point. This past time, Balaram was not out there with them. He was at home. Because this past time happened on his birthday, on the appearance day of Balaram. So he was at home having a birthday party with his mother. And then this old man came just totally distressed. Krishna's being captured by a great serpent. He's going to die. You all have to come. So Balaram understood, no, it's not like that. Krishna's God. You don't have to worry. But he didn't want to say that, because the inhabitants of Vrindavan love Krishna so much. They don't think he's God. They just love him as their friend or their child. They love him. So Balaram didn't want to interfere with their particular loving moods. So he didn't say anything. He said something. As they were all running out, Balaram jumped in front of them. No, no, it's a lie, it's a lie. Anyway, they just ran past. And they ran down towards the Yamuna. And then Sanatana Goswami says, the people of Vraja became like running corpses.